Hi, I'm Kathy Forstey. Today I have the great pleasure of speaking with Susie Glaze, lead vocalist of Susie Glaze and the High Lonesome Band. Susie and the guys have just released their brilliant new Grass Americana Folk Fusion CD, White Swan. Susie, welcome to KC Cafe Radio.
Thanks, Kathy. It's really great to be with you.
I'm glad you took the time out today to speak with me. First off, can you explain what Newgrass Americana Folk is?
Well, you know, I know that's kind of a mouthful, isn't it? But, you know, it's our music is so eclectic that I had to come up with what they call an elevator pitch, which is kind of a phrase that explains everything, if we can explain kind of to listeners and to audience about what it is our music comprises, you know. And it's all our music has original stuff, has elements of all of those things, those kinds of musics. Newgrass is something that was coined back in the 80s by the Newgrass Revival band, which was pushing the envelope as to genre and bringing in elements of bluegrass and folk and rock and roll and pop music into the amalgam that they really loved and they were good at. Mm-hmm. And so it kind of broadened the description. And so Newgrass is kind of like bluegrass in that it's acoustic, it's fast-paced, it's mostly stringed instruments. I mean, there's no percussion, there's no electric plugging in, and so it has an element of old-time country music into it. But our original songwriter, Rob Carlson, is writing new songs that sound grassy, so I use that term, Newgrass. But it also is extremely folky in that they're ballads and story songs and kind of languorous, you know, liquid kinds of tempos and things like that, and Celtic influences that kind of take it out of the bluegrass genre too. So it's really kind of a much wider palette that we're painting on.
Yeah, it's I think that is a great descriptive term, the Newgrass Americana Folk. Fusion, I like the word fusion at the end of that, because it's all bringing it all together and making it one sound. It's really great stuff. I really enjoy it a lot.
Oh, thank you. Glad you like.
Tell me a little bit about White Swan. Where did the idea for this CD come from?
Well, actually, it came from the title of the song White Swan. And that particular tune is very interesting because, and it appeals to me so much because of my love of history of old balladry from England, Ireland, and Scotland. And it's a new song by Rob Carlson that was based on an old one called Polly Vaughan. And as history students of music, or at least folk music, might recognize Polly Vaughan. And back in the 60s, even Peter, Paul, and Mary covered that song. And it's just about, it's a classic murder ballad, although it's not an intentional murder in this case. It's a mistaken identity tragedy that talks about a man, how he mistook his true love for a swan by the edge of a lake where he was hunting, and he had mistaken her because she was all wrapped in white and she was sitting by the edge of the pond or the lake. And so he thought he was shooting a swan, and he actually kills his true love. So it's one of those really typical mistaken identity ballads that, you know, were handed down through the generations in the old countries and brought to this country with the immigrants. So he wrote a White Swan, and it's actually, he changed the story just slightly in that in this case he kills his sister instead of his true love, and in the interim, before you realize what's happened, he is actually confessing to his family about what happened. Mm-hmm. And he's and it's so evocative, and it's so Celtic, and it's so so interesting and so new, but it's really an older story. So we we were able to bring an orchestral acoustic sound to it, and we actually penned the outro, which is a kind of a orchestral Irish sounding outro to this while we were recording it in the studio. We never had a good ending for it until we had to lay it down and said, how's this going to end? How should we end this? And so Mark Indictor, our incredible fiddle player, and Steve Rankin, our mandolinist, wrote the outro together. And it's just it's a wonderful way to end a kind of a somber ballad in this kind of really barn burner kind of raucous Irish grassy sounding, really ebullient type of jig thing. You know, mm-hmm. You just have to listen to it to see what I'm talking about. But it's going to be so great. And we're actually getting ready to film a music video of that song right at the beginning of the fall of September. And so we should have that out sometime in the later fall. And it's going to be really, really beautiful. So we're looking forward to that.
Oh, that'll be fun. Are you going to try and tell a story with the video?
It's going to be very dramatic looking. It's going to be done mostly in black and white, inside and in interior in a theater here in Los Angeles. And so it's going to look extremely dramatic. So it's going to be very metaphorical looking and very like on stage with spotlights. And then we have an idea about taking the last part of it out to a landscape over the ocean to kind of stand in for the freedom imagery of death and resurrection and confession and absolution. So it's going to be sort of emotional and very very metaphorical, but it won't necessarily be storytelling visually. Mm-hmm. I think it'll be more like you'll have to use your imagination and really listen to the words.
Right. That's great. That sounds like fun. Make sure you send me a copy when you get it done, or let me know when it's done.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. The world will know.
Great. Well, people can hear the White Swan CD and the title track White Swan not only on KC Cafe Radio, but also on iTunes and purchase it on CD Baby. So go and check that out because it's a wonderful song and the CD is amazing. One of my favorite tracks on it is April Fools. You talk about that song a little bit?
Oh, absolutely. This is a classic example of the eclecticism of the Highlandsome Band and their incredible playing, their ability to change gears into what we like to call this Appalachian bossa nova, which is is kind of a joke, but really it is, and Steve likes to crack that it's the Sergio Mendez portion of our show. It's It's a beautiful, sweet song about finding your true love and aging and getting older and loss, but in a sweet, sweet memory way. And it's just a soft, sweet bossa nova kind of samba thing, where we feature Steve and Mark on mandolin and fiddle doing this beautiful duet right in the middle of it. And it's also an original song by Rob Carlson. And I just admire Rob so much for his ability to not only to change gears, but to write songs that sound so much like standards. Mm-hmm. You know, this is like a George Gershwin song, for goodness sake. You know, it's just like, it's so beautiful to perform. And everyone just can't believe that we can play kind of a grassy bluegrass song like Little Rabbit, which is also on the album. Mm-hmm. And then we can play April Fools or Dark Eileen, which is also historically accurate to about a woman who lived in Ireland in the 1800s. And then we'll do April Fools or we'll do White Swan or, you know, then we'll do a James Taylor cover.
Exactly, yeah.
So just like, it's something for everyone, and really, it's something for all of us. It's just what we really do enjoy and can do well. And honestly, Kathy, I don't think that I could throw anything at this band that they could not make wonderful.
I probably agree with you. I mean, from what I've heard on the CDs, they're a wonderful group of musicians. Can you tell us a little bit about everybody in the group, mention all their names and what they do?
absolutely. I would love to. Well, I've talked about Rob Carlson. Rob is a native Los Angelino, and he grew up playing bluegrass in lots of bands. But then he also studied classical composition. And then he went back to playing, and then he quit just to write. And he's been writing all his life. And he's written songs with other people, but for the most part, he's written by himself. What he loves is an inspiration. And so when we met each other about 10 years ago, I had released only one album, and he, we met each other, and he approached me about singing his songs, and he was inspired by the old Appalachian songs and the balladry that I brought to him, because I was singing a lot of Gene Ritchie at the time, and still am. And so he went home, and he started writing things like Blue Eyed Darlin' and, you know, other songs like that that sound extremely old, but they're brand new songs. And so mm-hmm. he was inspired by all that, and he just started writing and bringing me his older stuff too. And he's just a brilliant genius that I feel like I've just completely won the lottery by meeting him. And and he and Steve and I collaborate on woodshedding his songs, and we help him write them and arrange them, and then we bring them to the rest of the band, and then we flesh all of that out together. So it's really a collaborative effort. Steve Rankin that I'm talking about. He's our mandolinist, but he's also started, and he's an arranger also, and kind of a music director for us. He's also started to play the bouzouki, which is a you'll hear on White Swan, which is it's a favorite instrument of all the Celtic bands to use as their bass sound, because it's mm-hmm. got this beautiful lute-like quality. It sounds like an octave mandolin in its kind of rich, you know, earthy tones. And he also plays guitar on our song Millworker, which is James Taylor's song. So he plays lots of different songs, instruments. Rob, I've talked about Rob. Mark Indictor, I've mentioned, is our fiddle player, and he's just amazing that he can just play anything just instantly, and he inspires all the rest of us. He came into the band in 2010, and he just really helped us raise the bar on the integrity of our playing and our ambition, and that we could play anything. And so he's just been an amazing, amazing addition to us. And of course, we love him intensely. And then Fred Sanders is a brilliant bassist and singer, and also a songwriter. He's been friends with Steve for over 30 years, when they're both actors also in Los Angeles, and they were roommates a long time ago in Louisville when they were a part of this the permanent company at Actors Theater of Louisville for many years. And so they've known each other and been in rock bands and acted together, and, you know, had a long history, and they're really best friends. And so having them together, you know, that bonding is just unbelievable glue for the band. And his innovation on bass is amazing to us, also inspiring. He plays Arco bass and bows on a lot of things. You'll hear him do that on our song River Road and on White Swan, and also on Dark Eileen. He plays just amazing bass on April Fool's, one of your favorites. Mm-hmm. You know, the kind of the really good jazz, you know, riffs that he's able to obtain. It's just, he's a great musician and funny. His song, Rockin' in Your Granddaddy's Chair, is on our new album, White Swan. And he wrote that several years ago for his child, when the child was young. And it's really great legacy, family legacy song.
Yeah, that's one of my favorites as well. I like that one too.
Oh, good.
So you guys actually have a connection too through Roger Miller. Could you explain that a little bit?
Yes. Well, actually, that's mine. I was an actor also in New York in the 80s, and I was asked to join the original company of Big River, the Broadway musical. And I was with that company for 2 years, and met Roger Miller when he joined the cast for about a 5-month run to play one of the parts, actually. So that was fun. And he wrote a brilliant score for Big River. If you don't know it, you should know it.
It's great. Yeah. It's one of my favorites. Yeah. I like it a lot. How did you get into, you're originally from Nashville. Mm-hmm. And so were you into music when you were in Nashville? Were you raised in a musical family?
I was not raised in a musical family. As I mentioned to you earlier before we went on the air, that my mother and father met and married and lived for a time before the Second World War in St. Louis. So my family is actually Midwestern. And after the war was over, Daddy and the family moved down to the Mid-South, but they were not musical. They loved music, but they were not musicians themselves. And I actually gravitated towards the theater because basically the music business was something I couldn't find. You could just walk into a storefront and find the music business the way you could the theater. And so I got into drama department and went to UT Knoxville and got my union card there while I was still in school. And so I naturally just went to New York and started working as an actress. But because I had a singing voice, I found myself in a lot of musicals. So the culmination of that was my Broadway job in Big River. Mm-hmm. And that ended in 88, and then I moved to Los Angeles and realized I didn't really want to be an actress, and I wanted to be a musician and a singer. So I joined Steve and Fred in their band, the 8-Hand String Band, during the 90s, and got my musician chops back up with them and just kind of sat in the background and played with them for a number of years. And then they recorded their one and only album in the year 2000 called The Simple Truth. And it's still available and out there. And you can hear a lot of wonderful early work from Steve and Fred during that time and me. And I was kind of considered a guest artist at the time. But I thought at the time I would ask the 8-Hand String Band to back me up on a solo effort. So I did do that in 2002 and did my own solo record, Home on the Hill. And so that's where we met Rob. And then you can fill in that history from what I talked about earlier. We formed the High Lonesome Band to showcase Rob's original writing in 2003.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And at what point did you start writing as well?
Well, my writing has been really minimal. I really just assisted Rob on kind of bringing stories of my life to the page and also doing historical research on Dark Eileen. We worked on the Dark Eileen for a number of years before we brought it to the band and finalized it. It's about a woman who lived in Ireland in the 1800s, and her husband was gunned down because of religious prejudice, and she became a kind of a cult figure of folklore because of the song that she extemporized at his graveside. And she became known as the Dark Eileen because she went a little crazy after he was killed. So the history on that is really kind of amazing. Rob is brilliant about doing historical research because he reads a lot, and he is inspired to write songs based on these true stories, you know, and that's where he actually has a lot in common with Gene Ritchie, because you know the folklore tradition was to write stories or write songs based on true life stories. And she grew up knowing that a folklore story had to have a song accompanying it. So when there wasn't one, that's when she would write one. And so that's what Rob does too. So it's kind of great that we're carrying that on.
Mm-hmm. We've brought up Gene Ritchie a couple of times now. Can you tell us a little bit about your relationship with her and how that developed over the years?
You know, it's really cool because back in 2000, when we released the 8-Hand Band album, I had done one of her ballads. I sang one of her ballads on it. It was a PD, a public domain song. I thought to perhaps get in touch with her record company and let her know that it was recorded and just send her a copy of it just because she might be interested in hearing it. And lo and behold, Jean herself was very into the internet at that time, even in its infancy, and she responded to me directly. And so that was really thrilling. And I got to be pen pals and friends with her. And she was kind of a mentor, and she became a consultant on our tribute show and album that we did for her in 2005. Called Singing the Moon Up, the Voice of Gene Ritchie. And so we did a show for with her in at Penn State University. And so we made a soundtrack album of that, which is still available. And so we became friends with her and her family because they were part of that show. And so we just feel like they're family with us, you know, the Richies. And so it was a very illuminating and very rewarding relationship. And Jean sadly had a stroke in 2009. And she's now back in Kentucky and being cared for by her family. And in fact, I'm going next week to pay a visit to Jean, and I'm looking forward to it so much.
Oh, wonderful.
Be able to sing with her, and you know she's able to sing and remember, you know, so much and know people, and so she's in good shape, and so I really look forward to it. So she's a treasure friend.
Yes, well, tell her that she is still loved, and we love her music and appreciate her music as well.
I will. Thank you.
She's an amazing songwriter. I've listened to her for years.
Oh, good.
I wanted to ask you about your guitar playing. You play guitar as well in the band. Are you a trained guitarist, or is that something you've picked up over the years?
Well, actually, I say that my playing is rather remedial because really, I'm not flashy with it. I really learned it just to accompany myself as a singer. And I've learned a lot over the years. I tell people that I learned whatever I've learned because I wanted to do a song. And the song required that I know a certain set of chords or a certain set of strumming techniques or whatever. But really, songs have informed me. Mm-hmm. And so that's really how I've learned. And I've just asked people that I've been in bands with to show me this, show me that, you know. And I pick it up over time and have gotten better because really my band demands that I get better with that. And they've been my teachers, you know, my collaborators have been my teachers.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, your band is so eclectic that, you know, bluegrass style playing is different than another kind of style of playing. So, I mean, you've really had to become a bit of a virtuoso on the instrument. I mean, if you ask me, even if you are just doing background, I mean, it's...
Well, thank you very much, Kathy. But I think that I would just like to probably suggest that if you're listening to anything that's virtuoso, quote unquote, on our albums, you're probably listening to Rob's lead guitar playing, because Rob is a brilliant guitarist as well as an amazing writer. And he's just an awesome leader instrumentally as well as a composer. So if you're listening to any great guitar work, it's either Rob or Steve as well. Steve is also a great guitarist as well as a great mandolinist. But thank you very much. I also play Appalachian dulcimer as mm-hmm. well on this album. And you'll hear it on White Swan as well as our Live at the Freight and Salvage album. I'm playing it on Mariah's Gone, a song by Gene Ritchie, Morning Come, Mariah's Gone. Mm-hmm. I have a little bit of Appalachian dulcimer going on too.
Great. Well, you can hear all of these songs on iTunes and also purchase through CD Baby, or go to Susie Glaze and the High Lonesome Band's website, and you can find out information on those CDs as well. I'm going to ask you about everyone in the band is such a brilliant writers as well. Has anyone ever brought a song to the group and said, you know, I'd like to do this song, and everyone's like, no, this isn't, this isn't for us?
Well, you know, Rob brings so many to us that, you know, we'll basically pick and choose. So it's like, well, I don't, you know, that's not going to work, or this is, and that isn't, or this is.
Is there like a criteria you guys have for a High Lonesome Band song?
Well, I think that it has to excite us and inspire us. I think it has to fit in with the kind of the genre of a lead female vocalist, you know. Mm-hmm. As a lead singer, I kind of have to feel that I can give something to the song, or I can bring out a potential that hasn't been reached yet. For instance, with Millworker, which is a James Taylor song, I've been wanting to do that for a long time because I really respond to the story of working women, and I feel that, you know, it's an undertold story. So I wanted to because it's so, also so poetic. So I think I have to feel it. I have to feel something about the tune that I want to say to the public, mm-hmm. and that I have an emotion that's attached to it that I want to bring out. Also, we'll bring another writer that we like to cover here in LA is Ernest Troost, whose two songs on our album are Harlan County Boys and Evangeline. And Evangeline is actually written from a male point of view, and I did not change the words. So you'll have me singing about how I, well, I don't want to give it away, but I, what happened is that it, because I haven't changed the genders or anything, and it's also about, it's about a death and a murder, then you wonder, why did this woman kill this other woman? You know, and then that changes that story and is kind of interesting. You know, what happened here, you know, instead of a man killing a woman for jealousy or whatever it is, that's kind of more, you know, typical in our genre. But when right. a woman kills another woman, you think, what happened? So that's a new take on it. And then if I feel like I've got an emotional hook into it, I'll choose it. Now, Steve is also picking some songs of Rob's that he wants to do. And we're actually tapping into a song cycle of Rob's that he brought to us recently that's based on a book about the water wars of Southern California, how the Owens Valley's water, natural water supply was stolen, or quote-unquote stolen, was appropriated back in the 30s, 20s and 30s, to funnel down to Los Angeles. And he, there was a book called Water Wars that Rob was inspired to write songs about. And so we're developing right now a song cycle based on that. And so Rob is going to be singing. I'm going to be singing. Steve's going to be singing lead with all of that. So we're developing songs that we feel we can do. And Rob's, as again, I say, Rob's writing so much and has written so much over the years. I'll pick and choose. I'll, you know, it'd be like, you know, being at Dunkin' Donuts. You kind of go, I'll take one of those, you know, and some don't work for me and some others really, really do.
Yeah. So here's my question to you. What is your favorite song? Not necessarily that you know, has been written for you or that you've sung, but is your favorite song of all time?
Well, that's really tough.
That's why I like to ask it.
Yeah, I know. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what, Kathy. I'll make a decision about that, and I will completely agree with my good friend and mentor, Jean Ritchie, mm-hmm. because she stated along many years ago on an album liner notes that her favorite song of all time, and it's hard to believe that she had a favorite because she knew over 300 songs and had written many, many songs, was the one that she was taught by her grandmother about Old Christmas. And Old Christmas, for those folks back then, was actually January 6th, which mm-hmm. is now called the Feast of the Epiphany, which is also known as Twelfth Night in England. And that song is called Brightest and Best. It's part of the Southern Harmony collection, and they were taught that as their Christmas song. And so the singing family of the Cumberlands, which numbered 14 children, would sing in harmony Brightest and Best as they caroled around their neighborhood at Christmas time. And I put that on my album in 2002 with singing with the fiddler Kenny Kosek, and it's also part of Singing the Moon Up. Mm-hmm. And now I perform it live around Christmas time and other times, depending on what the situation is, what the concert is, and with just fiddle accompaniment. And it's quite the brilliant tune. So I will just say that Brightest and Best is my favorite song.
Oh, beautiful. I love that answer. That's wonderful.
Thanks for asking it.
Yeah, no problem. I want to thank you again for joining us today on KC Cafe Radio and being a part of KC Cafe Radio. It's wonderful to have artists like yourself playing on our station. It's wonderful to tune in and hear your music. And I just want to tell everyone that they can friend Susie Glaze at Facebook. And you're also on iTunes, and you can check out some videos on YouTube, and also you can purchase your music through CD Baby. And they've got a really great website. It's called SusieGlaze.com. It's SusieGlaze.com, and it's got all of the CDs listed that we have been talking about today. So you just go on there, and you can listen and get a taste of the CDs, and then go on Amazon or CD Baby and buy them. Thank you so much, Susie, for joining us today.
Oh, it was a pleasure talking with you, Kathy. I really, really enjoyed it. And you have great questions, and it's really an honor to be part of KC Cafe Radio. We really appreciate everything you all do.
Well, we appreciate you as well. And are you going to be going out on tour soon?
You know, we just finished a bunch of touring because we just released an album. Right now, we're developing the new songs, and we're making plans to record a new album and do the music video that I talked about. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be playing for the remainder of the year just here in Los Angeles. But I know that we're going to be starting touring again next winter and spring. So we'll be out there. And we've also started a new thing with an online concert venue called Stage It. And we have our first Stage It show planned for August 17th. And you can go on Stage It or on our online calendar and see how to access that show and watch us do a live show from our own living room. Our own living room rehearsal space here in Los Angeles on August 17th.
Oh, that's fun.
It'll be 3:00 Pacific time, and you can go on Stage It and find the show, and there's a link again on our website on the calendar for finding that, and it just costs $5 to watch the show, and we'd love to have everybody in other cities and other places come watch us if you can't come see a show live, and it's a way of checking us out, and we'll be doing more of that through the fall. So that we can touch more folks and do more live shows from our own location.
That's a great idea. That's something more people should do, I think. You can have a virtual concert. That's wonderful.
We hope so. Everyone will tune in. It'll be really fun.
Wonderful. Okay, well, thank you again, and good luck with everything you guys have coming up and the new CDs and the CD you're working on, mm-hmm. and with your all your endeavors in the music video.
Thanks so much, Kathy. It was great to talk to you.